DW.
Currently, a number of cities across Europe are getting sued over failing to provide clean air and stick to the laws that limit air pollution. Here in Germany, for instance, in the past few months, a number of cities have been ordered by courts to ban diesel-powered cars. Environmental law firm Client Earth is currently involved in more than 100 similar lawsuits. The London-based public interest firm has offices in several countries and holds governments and also companies accountable if they fail to comply with environmental regulations. James Thornton is the founder and CEO of Client Earth, and I had the chance to meet him in Berlin recently, where the firm has just opened a new office. We sat down to talk about his vision, why they win most of their cases, and how spirituality and the law connect.
Mr. Thornton, you've been called one of the 10 people in the world that can really change the world. What's your master plan?
Well, the thing that really allows a small group of people to change the world is using the enormous power in the law. So legal systems encapsulate really what a society thinks about itself and the rules that people in a particular society have mutually agreed to be governed by. It always includes enforcement mechanisms. So if, for example, a government has passed a law about air pollution or water pollution, and then it doesn't do the right thing and protect the people, like the law says, we, using the power of the law, can go to the courts and force the government to do the right thing. So that's an example of how just a few people can actually make a big difference.
What's the innovative thing about Client Earth? Other people are also suing governments and companies.
Well, what's interesting to me, coming to Europe about 18, 19 years ago as an American who'd practiced this in the United States, and was that environmental groups in the EU were not systematically using law. So most of them had no lawyers involved at all. And when they came up with strategic ideas about their campaigns and what they wanted in legislation and so on, generally lawyers were not involved. And my idea was to bring this tremendous capacity, legal capacity, to the European environmental movement. And that really is different about Client Earth.
At the moment, you're, I think, suing about 40 cities, and there are a couple where already the court has said there have to be diesel bans. Berlin is one of them. What do you hope to achieve?
I think many, many more will follow. So what is beginning to happen? In Germany, there are all of these cases. In other countries, we're now beginning to see that when we simply write a letter to the politicians, they decide to make the changes themselves. It doesn't always happen, and then we have to sue. But after our case went up to the highest court in Germany and we won, then the mayor of Rome, who had only had a polite letter from us, she had a press conference and announced that she wanted to protect the health of the people by banning diesel. That's a very, very good result. And what we hope to get is, as we bring all of these cases, you begin to hope that the governments decide they will, on their own, follow the law. It's not actually asking very much to have governments follow their own law. We hope to get governments and then also companies thinking in the right way, thinking that they proactively want to protect the health of people.
Just for the record, how many cases are you involved in Client Earth at the moment?
About 30 air quality cases going on now in in 10 countries in the EU. We have another about 50 cases about coal. So I guess there are 110 cases, something like that, going on right now. And in another year or two, the list will be much longer. The interesting thing is that we win most of our cases. We very seldom lose anything. What it gives me is confidence that we're picking good cases and that the citizen groups we're working with also know what they're doing, because it's not that easy to bring cases against governments.
What does it take?
It takes a lot of hard work. You need to do a lot of analysis, and we always start by studying the science. So in setting up Client Earth, one of the very first things I did was to talk to climate scientists. If we could do one thing to help slow down climate change, what would it be? They said, stop any new coal-fired power stations from being built in Europe, and then start closing down existing coal-fired power stations. And then the question is there a strategy that can work? Sometimes it's not an obvious strategy. Sometimes you need to use very different sorts of laws to get to where you want to go.
Give an example.
To stop coal-fired power stations. Started analyzing and said, we're quite good at using existing environmental laws, but things aren't going fast enough. What else can we do? Suppose we were able to use corporate law, securities law, company law, and to make companies analyze the climate risk of their behavior, tell their investors that they were increasing the problems of climate change, and when they made their own investments, have to take account of the risk and invest in the right things. We now have 10 people working on this, and it's working very, very well.
Could you give an example of how is it working?
I'll give you an example. We just brought a very cool case in Poland last week, and it's the first case of its kind in the world. A company called Enea, which is another big energy company, they wanted to build a coal-fired power station. Now, energy analysts said that this would be a bad investment. They wouldn't make money from it. Coal is no longer a good investment. But they decided to go on anyway because the government is the biggest shareholder and it, for political reasons, wanted to move ahead. So we said, okay, let's try something new. We bought shares in the company. We became shareholders. And in the past, environmental groups have done that, and then they stand up at a meeting and say, don't do that. We knew that wasn't going to work here. So after buying the shares, we sued the officers and directors of the company, saying that they're violating their duties under corporate law, not environmental law, by not taking the interests of the company and the shareholders into account by investing in this bad investment coal plant. So that's the first time anyone in the world has done this. And I think officers and directors of companies all over the world are going to notice. And of course, we'll bring more of this type of cases, and we will change their behavior.
And that's James Thornton, CEO of Client Earth, and he's telling me next what connects environmental law and spirituality after a little bit of music. And I'm still here with James Thornton, who founded the public interest law firm Client Earth a bit over 10 years ago. At the time, compared to the US, it was fairly difficult for private citizens in Europe to sue over environmental matters. And Client Earth started out to change that.
So the very first thing we did as an organization, when we only had 4 people, was to sue Germany, the UK, and the EU in front of this court in Geneva. And we won all 3 cases. What that meant was that the German parliament went on a project of changing the standing laws to make it easier to bring a case if you're a citizen. In the UK, the cost rules changed so that now citizens can afford to bring cases. And in the EU, we won our case, but we're still fighting to get into the courthouse. It's not completely finished.
You need a long breath, obviously, and you have an enormous task as well. So what qualities do you think you need most?
Well, you need to believe that what you're doing makes sense. So, you know, is my whole life committed to trying to save civilization and trying to protect the planet and everyone who lives on it? And the answer is yes. So I don't know anything that I could be doing with myself that is as anywhere near as interesting to me as a human being. If that's your primary focus, you know, you find the energy. And also, I'm a Buddhist. And in Buddhism, you take a vow to save all sentient beings. You know, the sentient beings I'm trying to save are every man, woman, and child, and all of the animals, and all of the trees.
You're also a Zen teacher, and you organize, I read, meditation sessions, probably also here at the Client Earth office in Berlin. What do spirituality and law have in common, maybe, or have to do with each other?
Well, I mean, what the meditation does is allow you to remove stress, to some degree anyway, because there's a lot of stress doing this work, but to cope with stress, but also to have an openness to your own creativity and your own intuition, and to be able to be fluid and in the moment and connect with other people so that you can actually listen to them and hear what they're saying. So very profound about the meditation is it prevents you from having any ideology. No fixed ideas, no crazy ideology. And the world at the moment is dying due to many ideologies. So if you practice in this way, it makes you very practical. And very focused on taking care of things.
Next up, how Client Earth is helping citizens to take the state to court, for instance, in Africa, and why China is so crucial for the environment. And my my guest today, James Thornton from Client Earth, can also tell us how environmental law can help in cases when the legal system doesn't really work.
Well, it varies from system to system. There are some countries where it would be impossible to do our sort of work. We're always building the rule of law wherever we work. So we're building the rule of law in the EU. So in Africa, we are working in five countries, and we've been working there for about 4 years now. And the legal systems, the quality of the legal systems varied. In Gabon, for example, we had to bring together all of the forestry law. We actually went and found all the law and published what's now the official forestry code of Gabon. We wound up working with the government there and in these other four countries, a total of five. We started working with citizen groups and not the government. We started by working with NGOs and lawyers in the countries to explore what the legal rights of forest-dependent communities are so we could protect those rights. And as a result, with African lawyers, studied what the system of rights were in each country to see what rights were missing. We came up with a package of rights altogether, and in some countries there were things missing, and then we supported the NGOs in going to the governments and saying, we need more of this right or we need more of that right. That's actually been quite successful. So in a sense, we've been working with the NGOs and lawyers in Africa in these countries to build basic democracy. And it's been remarkably successful. And in each of the countries, the governments then came to us and said, well, actually, we understand what you're doing, and it's quite helpful. Could you also talk to us? So we said, well, of course. And then changes in the law came.
And of course, that's also something that you're very excited about, is working in China. What do you do there, and what's so exciting about it?
Well, China is very exciting. We've just been discussing how in Western Europe, sometimes we have to fight governments. We also help them. But in China, in fact, the invitation was from the Supreme Court of China to go in and for me to give a seminar to members of the Supreme Court, because they were helping to write a law to allow citizens to sue companies that polluted for the first time. They set up a system of environmental courts from the Supreme Court all the way down to the provincial level. So there are something like 3,000 environment court judges in China who are becoming expert in deciding environmental cases. And it's been a real honor that the Supreme Court invited us to help train these judges in how to make environmental decisions. So every year, several times, we and bringing experts from around the world go in and share methodologies on how to decide environmental cases. And since we've been working with them for a few years now, the prosecutors have brought 2,000 enforcement cases in the courts. So to me, it's always very inspiring to go to China.
I'm sure you get a lot of criticism about this, because if you're focusing on environment and leave out human rights questions and social questions, would you say it's a rather pragmatic approach?
Well, let's think about it this way. The IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, very recently told us that we have 12 years to seriously shift the direction of society if we want a human civilization in future generations. 12 years, that's not very long. So if I were to sit here and say, well, I'm not going to help the Chinese improve their environmental work until they've completely changed their human rights position, 12 years might come and go many times, and the world might not survive from an environmental perspective. So I think one has to be pragmatic, and one has to actually help the world's biggest polluter and the world's largest population if, as I do think, they are sincere.
And in a moment, James Thornton tells me why his job is fun, even if it can take many years till things change.
What cases are you most proud of that you won in the last 40 years?
One that I'm very proud of having brought was in California, to protect the whole coastal ecosystem from Los Angeles down to the border of Mexico. A long negotiation in which most of that coast got protected. So that was a particularly good one. And then I love bringing these cases against water polluters and against coal-fired power stations because it makes such a difference. You know, just 2 weeks ago in Poland, we had a coal-fired power station closed down. The citizens in that city came to the office and they said, we'd like you to focus on this one, please, because it puts out so much benzene and other toxic chemicals. We have very high rates of cancer and other diseases. Could you close this down? So my colleagues there brought a case, and within 8 months, the plant was closed. So there's a lot to appreciate in a case like that, too.
Sounds like fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. That's the other thing that keeps you going.
What's your next goal in the next 5 years for Kind Earth?
Well, it in some degree is a moving target, because as we were discussing earlier, we and all human beings have this 12 years in order to make a big difference. So we're going to be pushing very hard for new good laws, for example, to improve agriculture and reduce its contribution to climate change and pollution. And that's writing laws, you know, in the parliaments. And then we're going to be bringing a lot more cases to be at the sharp point of disrupting the Alta industry and giving them the opportunity to think the right way.
You're inspired by nature to do this. You want to protect the planet. How much time do you actually manage to spend in that environment?
I don't spend enough time in nature, but all of my holidays are spent in nature. We have a little tiny house in the French Pyrenees, for example, and we go down there and hike in the mountains. And whenever I'm in any natural environment like that, I always put on my email away message is, I'm not in the office now, I'm visiting my client.
DW.